This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, bringing you another old-time, old-fashioned gospel message we call the Old Trailblazer. Yes, we'd like to give you this announcement. We have a new catalog of our radio Bible and book room here at the Radio Mission, setting out all the list of all the good books we have on hand, and we've discounted them heavily to our listeners. So if you'd write us, we'd send you a copy of our catalog, and we want to pick up our study on God's elective grace under the heading of God's sovereignty. Yes, we want to continue our study there on God's sovereignty, on this subject, God's elective grace. If there is one truth taught in God's Word, it is salvation by grace and grace alone. That's made so clear in Titus 3:7. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, being justified by His grace. When we see man as he is, totally depraved, dead in trespasses and sin, blinded by the god of this world, O Satan, unprofitable, every faculty of his being deteriorated by sin, hopelessly lost. Now that's the condition of every awakened sinner outside of Christ, my friend. He has no power within himself to believe or even to seek God. Listen, folks, if you're not saved, you don't have any power to believe. The Bible says to believe, but you can't believe until God gives you grace to believe. That's right, or even be willing to believe. When we view man in this state or this condition, which is not only divine truth, but the true state of man, whether you believe it or not, we see that the only hope for any sinner to ever come to know the Lord is the grace of God. This is not by accident. There's no accidents in God's economy. Let's notice this statement of fact in the scriptures that I've read to you. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now let's notice the meaning of this statement. A remnant according to the election of grace. The cause of election is traced back to its source. The basis upon which God elected this remnant was not faith and repentance foreseen in them, nor was God's choice founded upon the foresight of good works, because that would have made salvation by works and not by grace. But the Apostle Paul declared, "If by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace." Thus we see that the idea of inherent goodness, good foreseen in those whom God chooses, performed by them, is divinely excluded. When Paul said a remnant according to the election of grace, this certainly signified unconditional choice by a sovereign God without any idea of favor on the part of the individual. Let me tell you something, my friend. Listen, in these days when the ministry is resorting to believingism, easy believingism, decisionism, walking the aisle-ism, shaking the preacher's hand-ism, all of those things, movie picture-ism, to get members into church, that's what they call it. They call that salvation. We are forced to fall back upon these great old absolute promises of God. That is our only hope in these dark days in which we live. To rest upon these great, absolute, unconditional promises of God's eternal, unbroken word. This election was according to the riches of God's grace. That's right. According to the riches of God's grace. Now listen, my listener friend. Let me take you now to the glittering treasure of divine grace. God foreknew that man would fall. He did. God foreknew that man would fall there in the Garden of Eden. That wasn't a surprise to the Lord. He knew all the time that he would fall. But he determined of his own infinite purpose and will that he would raise out of this fall a multitude that no man could number. That's what the Word said. God the Father held a solemn council with the Son, with God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Thus did he speak in that council and say, "I will that those whom I have chosen be saved." Then the Son replied, "My Father, I'm ready to bleed, I'm ready to die, that they may be justified, not suffer in hell, and that thy purpose and thy plan may be executed." Have you ever looked at that covenant, my friend, right down where we live? Have you ever gotten down where we live? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, before the foundation of this world, before Adam and Eve was ever created, before this world was ever spoken into existence, they made a covenant. Listen, they made a covenant. That's right. That's what we just got through reading, my friend. And then the Lord said he would come and bleed. He said, "I'm ready to bleed and to die." Also, the Holy Spirit said, "I will that those whom the Son redeems with his own precious blood shall be called by grace and shall be made alive, shall be preserved, shall be sanctified, perfected, and brought safely through all the trials and tribulations of life, and brought safely home at last. Now that's our hope, my friend, that we are going to be brought through after we're saved. The Lord said that we are kept by His power, but the Holy Spirit is our guide. He indwells us. The Holy Spirit indwells every born-again believer. Oh, my friend, you don't have to pray for infilling of the Holy Spirit and filling of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and all of those things. That's not God's word. No, listen, the Holy Spirit comes in to dwell when a child of God is born into the kingdom of God. He's our chief guide. That's right. That's right. And He said He'll guide us. Then was this covenant written, signed, sealed, and ratified between the divine three: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, my friend, that's just as real to me as I'm sitting here before this microphone. That's right. In this covenant, the Father gave the Son. The Son willingly gave Himself. And the Spirit promised all of His influence, all of His presence to those who of the chosen elect. Then did the Father give to the Son all the persons of His elect. And following that, the Son gave Himself to the elect to die for them, to take them into the union with Himself. God's gift to the world of His elect was His Son, but God's gift to His Son was His chosen. Then the Holy Spirit covenanted with those chosen ones would surely be brought safely home at last. Now, I know that we may be cutting across your old grain this morning, speaking of God's elective grace, but would you just not harden your heart? Would you not stomp out and kick against the prick? But would you just listen to God's word? Listen now, we're bringing you God's word. When I think of this eternal covenant of the Godhead, I'm perfectly amazed and staggered with the grace of it. Now, it does. It staggers me, my friend. It was a glorious covenant, signed, sealed, and ratified from all eternity. Let me call your attention to this scripture found in John 6:37. Listen to the word of God. Now listen, you who don't believe in the election of God, in the chosen of God, listen. All that the Father giveth me, that's John 6:37-40. All that the Father giveth me shall come. Now, what are you going to do with that, my friend? And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What are you going to do with that, those of you who say saved today and lost tomorrow? For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, but the will of Him that sent me. Who was that? God the Father. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, there's that word again, given me, I should lose nothing. Have you been given to Christ? I have. I've been given to the Lord. I sure have, my friend. I've been given to the Lord in grace. And this is the will of Him that sent me, speaking to the Lord again, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. We notice here the will of God is our salvation. The will of God is our salvation. It was from the will of God that the very thought of salvation first arose. Left to ourselves, to our own will, we would just wander farther and farther from God. It is from the purpose of His grace that all our hopes ever begin. It was God's will that ordained the salvation by faith. Salvation through an atoning sacrifice. Salvation by the way of the new birth. Salvation by the way of perseverance up to perfection. Let me quote again this statement, that God's gift to the world of His elect was His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's gift to the Son was the whole body of the elect. This is also so clearly stated in John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me, we just read it, shall come to me. Also, look at the 39th verse. Listen to these words. This is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing. Notice that expression, that divine truth. This is the Father's will. How sovereign His character. What majestic words. This is the Father's will. No ifs, ands, buts, no asking, no requesting. Listen again. No bending the knee to their choice. No asking if they will please have it. No, the Lord doesn't ask you that. This is the Father's will. This will is absolute, independent. This will cannot be thwarted. So many now are attempting to thwart God's will. No, it's omnipotent, my friend. for it proceedeth from the Eternal One. It is a fixed will. He would say, I am God, I change not. My dear listener, will you again let me read these words as they concern the salvation of God's people? This is the Father's will. Oh, God, I tremble at thy will until I read the other lines. What is God's will? I stand in terror until I read that mercy is the Father's will. Love is the Father's will. Salvation is the Father's will. When that great truth breaks upon the human soul, with joy it flees to the Lord's bosom. That soul flees to the Lord because he's so full of love. Oh, my friend, listen to the 38th verse. Christ said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. You see the Father's will there, my friend? You see the sovereignty of God there in that will? So the Father's will, and Jesus said he delighted to do that will, is to save his elect. Now, who are God's elect? We're going to just briefly touch that, and we'll pick it up the next time. Here it is. Everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. You say, oh, Pastor, Trailblazer, how do I know I'm among God's elect? Listen again to God's word. Everyone which seeth the Son and believeth him may have everlasting life. Yes, I know it was God's will, divine will, to give to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. His obedient servant. A number of men out of mankind who were his. I know that. The Father gave to the Son a number no man could number, a number far beyond the bounds of our thoughts. We can't number that high. A certain number whom himself he chose before the foundation of the world. And these became the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. They became disciples, not by their own natural inclination, but by the election of grace. Now, my friend, that's the greatest thing that could ever happen to a poor old soul. Is to be delivered, be brought, be chosen of God, my friend. There is an elect of God. Peter says, I believe it is, that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, not by silver and gold and those things are we saved, but by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. You don't have anything to do with your salvation. You don't have any, you walk the aisle. Is there any blood in the walking aisle? No, sir. You make a profession. Is there blood there? No. No soul is ever saved apart from the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. Has that been made real to your heart? Could I just stop here in our last few moments and ask you, do you know the Lord? Have you ever been brought down as a lost sinner at the feet of Christ, begging for mercy? Did you know everyone who ever comes to know the Lord becomes a beggar? That's right. Begging for mercy. It's not a shame to beg, my friend. Oh, to fall at the feet of a gracious Lord, a sovereign Lord, and beg for mercy, my friend. That's what salvation is. Coming to the Lord, trusting him, and leaving all the results in the Lord's hand. Well, you don't know. You don't have to know all of those things. You don't have to know who Cain's wife was and all those things. That's not important. What you need to know is the Lord Jesus Christ in the forgiveness of sin. And it's all because of his elective grace. If God had not chosen me, I never would have come. No, you wouldn't either, my friend. If you know the Lord, the only reason you know the Lord is God chose you one day. Picked you out of a crowd. That's right. That's right. Like the little adopted child. He knows that he's chosen. His dad and mother picked him out of a crowd. That's why he's so proud. And that's why I love to talk about the grace of God, because he chose me one day. This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast coming to a close. Remember, our mailing address is Radio Missions,
Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.
If you missed part of today's broadcast or would like a recording, the Old Trailblazer broadcast is now available for download to your phone, to your iPad or computer via podcast. Find out more about our podcast by visiting our website at radiomissions.org. That's radiomissions.org.